Doctor Who, The Trial of a Time Lord, The Ultimate Foe, by Pip and Jane Baker, read by Michael Jaston. Prologue. The charge must now be genocide. Genocide. The Doctor's face blanched, contrasting with his colourful patchwork coat. Snatched out of time to stand trial for a crime of meddling in the affairs of other societies was traumatic enough, but the new charge echoing around the court carried with it a greater penalty, the ultimate punishment. When a Time Lord is brought before the Bar of Justice, it is to no ordinary tribunal that he is transported. But then, as a member of the most remarkable species in creation, this is only to be expected. Plucked out of time, the accused is incarcerated in a beam of turbulence which lances through the vast reaches of the four-dimensional universe to penetrate a unique dimension where all the processes of existence hitherto experienced are suspended. Hovering in this singular vacuum is the venue for the trial, a vast, incredible space station, constructed like a Baroque cathedral, with dozens of thrusting spires and straddled with porticos. The gargantuan hulk is embellished with a Rococo scroll, glorifying the achievements of the Time Lords. In acknowledgement of the gravity of the proceedings, a perpetual electric storm of Wagnerian magnitude leaps and dances with unabated fury. This was the dramatic setting into which the Doctor had been pitched. From the prisoner's rostrum, he watched events unfolding on the giant matrix screen that dominated the court. The matrix contained the memories of all the Time Lords. And from there, the black-garbed prosecutor, the Valyard, had extracted two cases to present in evidence against the Doctor. Interference on Ravelox, and aiding the brain transference travesty planned by the gruesome Syl. Neither case caused him particular concern, because of the strong submission he intended to offer in his own defense. The tale of the terrifying Vervoids, those plantoid creatures who had infested the intergalactic liner Hyperion III. Only his resourcefulness prevented the homicidal monsters from reaching Earth. His intervention saved the human race. Having concluded his evidence, he awaited the Inquisitor's declaration of exoneration. In vain. It had been the Valyard who spoke. Every Vervoid was destroyed by your ingenious ploy? Apparently a guileless question. But the Doctor had realized where the vengeful prosecutor was leading. My lady, he said to the white-gowned Inquisitor, had even a leaf survived and fallen on fertile soil, a Vervoid would have grown. No murmur of understanding came from the jury of his peers, the ancient Time Lords lining the rows of seats in the austere court. The beings on planet Earth would have been eliminated, he affirmed desperately. To no avail. The triumphant Valyard had his victim by the tail, and he intended to twist it. On his own submission, persisted the sonorous tones, the Doctor has admitted responsibility for destroying a complete species, thus breaking Article 7 of Gallifreyan law. For this, there can only be one punishment. The Doctor knew what that was. Death. The forfeiture of all his remaining lives. Chapter 1. The Key of Rassilon. It seemed there was no help for the hapless Time Lord, not a single witness who could speak in his defense. Perry, his companion, was dead. Mel, his subsequent companion, was somewhere in his future. He could call on neither of them to testify on his behalf. Someone, though, an unexpected and unlikely savior, was waiting in the wings. Two coffin-shaped caskets came drifting down a light beam. Like the TARDIS, which had been captured in a similar beam, they spun towards the hovering space station that housed the courtroom, to land with a bump beside the deserted and somewhat battered navy blue police.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?